From Philadelphia, PA, it's Avenue G.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
A mythical, mirthful, musical place. It's groovy, it's grand, it transcends time and space, and it's a place where anything is possible. Martha Michael is in the house tonight, as well as Mac Jekyll and me, Ed Feldman. Now here's your host, Jim Harris.
Well, the worst ways are the haters' ways, filled with prejudice and fear. You're welcome to speak your piece, but please don't speak it here. Take a look around, open up your mind, and you will see that we are all humankind. It's the same song that they always sing when you don't like yourself. You'll try to feel better by hating someone else. Ain't no time to hate, barely time to wait.
Welcome to the show, everyone, and a big Avenue G hello to all our new listeners out there in Wichita, Kansas. As you can tell by our opening number, today's show will be all about rejecting hate and promoting diversity. We're getting ready for a big block party here on the Avenue, and everyone's invited. We close off the street, and all the neighbors line up for cotton candy and snow cones. The really impatient folks can buy bags of raw sugar to pour directly into their mouths.
That's right, Jim. We also play pin the tail on the donkey, although for liability reasons, we have to use Velcro instead of pins. Last year, there was an incident. Paramedics had to remove a pin from Ed's epiglottis.
I only ate it because it looked like a Skittle, a red one. Hey, Jim, what is that music? It sounds like it's coming from next door.
It's the Ride of the Valkyries. By the sound of that string section, I would say it's the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan, circa 1978.
Golly, you sure know a lot about opera.
Well, back in the 80s, Herbert von Karajan had a crush on me. He used to stand outside my window playing a boombox. It got so bad I had to tase him.
I miss the 80s. I had the coolest mullet.
Oh yeah? Me too.
Well, I hate the 80s. And this noise is unacceptable. We have a radio show to do. I'm going next door to Professor Booker Wilhelms Huey at the Institute for Postmodern Phrenology and complain. Martha, while I'm gone, you'll need to be the host of the show. Can you tell a witty story from your colorful past?
Sure thing, Jim.
And don't let Ed eat my cookies. I've specially labeled them for Jim only.
I got you covered. See you later. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please allow me to tell you a tale of a sleepy little town called Gaithersburg, Maryland. It was there that my grandpa worked for 50 years, painting eyelashes onto porcelain figurines at the Hummel factory.
And that is a fascinating... Why do I let Martha talk on the air? Our readings are going to plummet.
Good day, Jim. How is everything going at your studio next door?
Fine, Professor Wilhelms Huey.
Wilhelms Hehe.
You
can just call me Booker.
Oh, okay, Booger. Look, the only problem is you're playing your music way too loud. You folks at the Institute have been such good neighbors, I feel bad complaining.
Oh, Jim, I am sorry. You see, I'm in a bit of a fix. Our Institute has had some funding problems, and we had to rent out some office space. Unfortunately, our new tenants opened up a branch office of the Ku Klux Klan.
What? That's horrible.
I know, but if we try to evict them, they will sue us for denying them their freedom of speech.
Jeez, Professor, you got to get rid of those guys. They're evil.
The worst part is that they share our copy machine. It's very uncomfortable for my staff. My secretary is a Jewish black Cherokee, and my office manager is a Chinese Muslim.
Wow, your office is way more diverse than ours. All we got is a French-Canadian. And I think he's just faking it.
Jim, perhaps you can help me with my predicament. I can't force the Klan to leave, but maybe you can do something that will drive them away.
I hear you, loud and clear. Do you have any plastic explosives? I'm pretty sure Martha's got some detonators.
Although I appreciate your enthusiasm, I am concerned that blowing up the building might not be the most prudent approach.
Okay. Well, then, I think we need to gather some information on these Klansmen. Why don't I go talk to them? I'll pretend I'm interested in joining their group.
Excellent idea. The office is just down the hall. Just don't tell them you're Irish. You can tell them you're Scottish.
But I don't look Scottish. I've never worn a kilt.
Never?
Okay, once. But it was back in the 60s, and all the guys were wearing them.
Really? I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, here we are, Jim. I'll go back to my office, and you can talk to the Klansmen.
Good luck!
I still think explosives would have been better.
Stay out of the way. Save the KKK. That's what people say. That's what people say. I gotta stop the hate. At least I'll have to try. That's my battle cry. I will keep trying. I must stop their lying. It's like I got this music playing in my mind, saying you gotta do what's right. So the player's gonna play. Gotta stop the KKKKKKKK. And the haters gonna hate. But I'll take them on. For the players gonna play. Gotta stop the KKKKKKK. And the haters gonna hate. But I'll take them on, yeah!
It's that damn dachshund they have. Excuse me, is anyone at home?
I say, good morning. What can I do for you?
My name is Jim Harris. I work at the radio station next door. I was reading a letter from my cousins at their tweed factory in Scotland when I heard some Wagner melodies coming from your office.
Oh, yes, that was us. I hope we weren't playing it too loudly.
Oh, no, not at all. I was wondering if you have the music on CD. I'd like to play it on my new radio show, the White Supremacist Music Hour.
That sounds just brilliant.
For you see, I am an ardent white supremacist, and I've been looking for a like-minded group of people, perhaps to start a hate group.
Really? Well, this is serendipitous, because I represent the Mid-Atlantic branch of the Ku Klux Klan. Please, come in.
Why, thank you. I couldn't help but notice your accent. What part of Philadelphia are you from?
I'm Clive Thistlewit from Ipswich in the UK. I decided to leave the United Kingdom after the city of Blackpool rejected my petition to change its name to Caucasian Pool.
At least you gave it the old school try.
Let me introduce you to our staff. This is our Director of Public Outreach, Megan Hasselbottom. She's developing a new morning TV chat show we are calling The Coffee Klux.
So glad to meet you. My goal is to rebrand the Ku Klux Klan to make it the kind of hip, internet-savvy organization all the millennials can relate to.
Oh, the times they are changing.
This weekend, we're holding a street fair on Germantown Avenue and inviting all the hate groups from the East Coast to join us. We're calling it the Paler Shade of White Festival.
Ooh, that sounds like great fun. So I'm just wondering, how do you contact all the other hate groups? Is there a mailing list or a phone chain?
Oh, no. We're very high tech. We contract out all our communications efforts to the cyber Nazis. They are also supplying us with 15 quarts of Bavarian potato salad. It's Teutonically tasty.
Oh, so they have diverse skills, eh?
They might be able to help you with your radio show. Here, let me give you their card. You will want to contact either Commander X or Chancellor Z.
Oh, thank you. That will really help my entertainment career. After all, insulting Jews is a surefire way to succeed in show business. Look at what it did for Mel Gibson.
Jim, I'd also like you to meet our director of racial purity, Teflon Bundy. His cousin, Oswald Bundy, was the chap who so bravely took over that wildlife refuge out west.
You mean the anti-government ranchers who didn't want to pay grazing fees?
Correct. It is so unfair that ranchers should have to pay to buy food for their cattle when the Constitution clearly states they should get it for free at taxpayers' expense. The Bible says that too.
Well, nice to meet you, Mr. Bundy. So, were you arrested with your cousin?
No, and unfortunately I was out getting snacks when the federal agents took everybody into custody.
Snacks? What kind?
I had just loaded my truck with marshmallows, white chocolate saltines, you know, white snacks.
Yeah.
Then my engine overheated. Everything melted. My truck, it was like a rolling albino s'more.
Ooh, that can ruin your upholstery.
But now things are looking up for us. We're taking white supremacy in a whole new direction.
We've even decided to change our name. Instead of being the Ku Klux Klan, we're going to call ourselves the New Ku Crew. That should appeal to the kids.
I see, sort of like Two Live Crew.
Exactly. Except we're all white, and we don't like big butts.
Well, I'm not sure that last part is completely set in stone.
Jim, I think that we could really come up with some dynamic synergies by cross-marketing your radio show with our upcoming Paler Shade of White Festival.
That could work.
We'd love it if you could join our group. We even have a few spare white robes and a duffel bag in our closet. What are you, a 42 long?
No, I'm 41 regular. I think I should go back and discuss this with my colleagues. I'm sure they'll have some great input for your outside-the-box paradigm thingy.
That's super. We just love free creative thinking. That's what fascism is all about.
Remind me again, when are you holding this Paler Shade of White Festival?
It will be from 8 a.m. till noon tomorrow. I sure hope the cyber-Nazis do a good job of getting out the invitations. If not, I'm going to have a whole lot of leftover Bavarian potato salad.
Yeah, that sounds yummy. I gotta go now, but keep in touch.
Bye.
Bye.
Holy mackerel, I gotta stop this crazy festival. If it weren't bad enough on its own, it's happening at the same time as the Avenue G Diversity Day celebration. Our celebration of peaceful coexistence and unbridled consumption of sugar could turn into a dangerous confrontation. Martha! Ed! I need your help. White supremacists are going to hold a festival tomorrow on Germantown Avenue. We need to stop them.
Are you sure you want to do this, Jim? Militant races can be pretty violent. You might be opening a whole can of worms.
Well, what's wrong with that? If the worms were sealed in the tin can, they would have all suffocated. They'd be no threat whatsoever.
Well, that's horrible.
Don't blame me. She brought it up. I mean, what's so bad about opening a can of dead worms? It would be like opening a can of SpaghettiOs, except more nutritious.
SpaghettiOs? That's even more frightening.
You may have a point there, Jim. Nonetheless, those white supremacists could be dangerous. If we want to stop them, we must be careful.
Agreed. We need to come up with a plan.
What sort of plan do you have in mind, Jim?
Something involving construction paper and Elmer's glue and maybe macaroni.
That sounds more like a craft project than a plan. I'm afraid it's going to take more than macaroni art to stop the Ku Klux Klan.
The Klan? You mean the Wu-Tang Klan, that groundbreaking East Coast rap group originally composed of Method Man, Ghostface Killah, and Inspector Deck?
No, the Ku Klux Klan. It's a hate group. They hate everybody. Jews, Mexicans, Catholics, blacks, you name it, they hate it.
Do they hate those damn ambidextrous people? If we could get rid of all the ambies, we could finally make America great again, you know? They swing both ways. We should ban them from the restrooms.
I don't think you're being fair, Ed. There have been some great ambidextrous Americans, like Benjamin Franklin, Leonardo da Vinci, and LeBron James.
I think we should deport all them ambies back to Mexico. And then build a wall. Furthermore, I'd get all the ambidextrous people to build it for us. They could build both sides of the wall at the same time using both hands at once.
Will you two shut up? We need to stop the Klan from holding their festival. They've got cyber Nazis sending out invitations. And one of those loony ranchers who took over that wildlife preserve out west.
Hey, that's a great idea. Why, if I took over the Nature Center, that would be a perfect way for me to promote my anti-ambidextrous agenda.
No, Ed, that's not the point.
Sorry, gotta go. If you want me, I'll be at the Nature Center dressed in camouflage and a cowboy hat. Just like George Washington when he surprise attacked them North Koreans. Bye!
Oh, nuts. Looks like it's just you and me, Martha. What are we gonna do?
You know, You think you know a person.
You mean you didn't know that Ed's...
anti-ambi? No.
I was going to say out of his mind, but yeah, Ed's anti-ambi too. There's a lot of hate going around, especially with this Klan rally, and we've got to stop it.
I think we need help, Jim. We need someone familiar with event planning, yet someone who understands the hopes and dreams of the American heartland. Fortunately, I know just who can help us. Waiting in the green room are the guests I booked for today's show, the Paul brothers, Senator Rand Paul and his fraternal twin brother, famed drag queen RuPaul.
Wait, does that mean that RuPaul is the son of former Texas Congressman Ron Paul?
You got it. It's hard to categorize Ron Paul. I think his two sons could help us out. I'll go get them.
Oh, Rand! Ru! Could you join us in here for a sec?
Excuse me, Ru, but I think we're being paged.
Sure thing, Rand. Let's go.
Hi, guys, or whatever. I'm wondering if you could help us out. I recently found out that there are some Klansmen next door.
Well, that's not nice.
Yeah, they're planning on joining with some cyber Nazis to hold a white supremacy festival tomorrow. How can we stop them?
First, let me say that what you're doing is very important. Last year, I initiated an effort to increase minority membership in the Republican Party.
But I thought that whole thing ended up being a complete failure that alienated the African-American community.
It sure was. But fortunately for me, that sad story was completely overshadowed by the general mayhem that is now causing the GOP to break apart at the seams.
Jim, first you have to stop those cyber Nazis.
But how?
You need to hack into their computers and make sure they don't send out the invitations. Can you do that?
Well, Martha knows all about that stuff. She could steal their passwords.
Wonderful! As for the KKK, I say fight fascism with fashion. You need to steal their white robes tonight and tie-dye them.
I can do that. I learned tie-dyeing in medical school.
Then, when they show up for their festival in bright colors, they'll blend in with everyone else at the diversity festival. They'll hate that. They'll be so humiliated, they'll leave town in shame.
That's such a crazy idea. It might just work. When I was visiting the Klan's office, I saw the closet where they keep their robes.
Could you break in and steal them?
We could cut a hole in the studio wall, then sneak in there unnoticed and take their robes. I'll get working on it right away.
And I'll go visit the cyber Nazis and sabotage their online operations.
Great. Here's the card with their address. Time is of the essence. You better go now.
All right, I will. See you later, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Gee, this is pretty scary. I hope I can do a good job.
What's the KKK like? I wonder. What will they think of me? I wonder. It could be so exciting to bring a hate group down from within. But what will I do if they ask me where I like to go in Berlin? I've always longed for adventure, to show the world all that I can. Now here I'm facing adventure. Why does it involve the Klan? Haters are dressed in bedsheets. What's so fearsome about that? Oh, I must stop this KKK rally and foil the hate monger's plan. I must dream of the things I am seeking. I am seeking to befriend the Klan. I need to forge a fake alliance, convince them of my complete compliance, act like I'm with them, and while I'm with them, I'll bring them down. Let them share with me their secrets. I'll keep my cards close to my vest. I have confidence I'm worthy of the test. I'll make them believe they have a confidant in me. Somehow I will convince them that I'm one of their kind. And all those skinheads fresh from prison, they are no match for me. I tell you, with each step I am more certain everything will turn out fine. I have confidence success will soon be mine. You have to agree, I have confidence in me. Confidence in justice, in freedom and all the rights thereof. I have confidence in universal love, besides which you see, I have confidence in me. Strength doesn't
kinds of people. It's time to stand up. Stand up! Stand with me! I must trust I have the heart to face the Klan all on my own. I have confidence in confidence alone. Oh, help! I have confidence I can bring down the Klan. It may surprise you to see I have confidence in me.
I wonder if I should go home and change clothes before I meet with those cyber Nazis. I think I'd make a better impression if I dressed in white. But then again, it's still a few weeks before Memorial Day. If we're fighting fascism with fashion, I wouldn't want to commit such a huge fashion faux pas. Oh well, I'll just have to risk it. Well, here's their office.
Hello, who is it?
Excuse me, I'm looking for Commander X and Chancellor Z of the Neo-Nazi Party. I was told to go to this apartment, but the name on the mailbox out front is Byron J. Spindlebutt. Am I at the right place?
Yes, that is me. But I use the nom de guerre Commander X, and technically speaking, we are not the Neo-Nazi Party. Our formal name is the Federation of Aryan Racial Triumph.
So you belong to the FART?
Exactly. I am the Commander-in-Chief of the FART. My colleague here is the Prime Minister of the FART. We call him Chancellor Z, although his real name is Lemuel Pocket Fuzz. Say hello to this fine lady, Chancellor.
I'm glad to meet you.
You must forgive us if we seem a bit taken aback. We rarely speak to women.
Face to face, that is. We often do speak to women via the internet, but most of them are Russian, and we have to limit our conversations because they charge by the minute.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Martha von Braun. I work next door to the new Coup Crew. They told me you guys are promoting the upcoming Paler Shade of White Festival. I'm wondering if I could help.
Well, of course, but I must warn you, if you wish to assist us, it's exceedingly hard work. It mostly involves documenting the international Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. They are a cunning and well-organized threat to civilization.
Yes, I recall how they tried to take over the Roman Empire by allowing Jerusalem to be destroyed, and then wandering for centuries as stateless refugees. What a clever strategy for global dominance.
Indeed, for generations they pretended to be impoverished villagers in Eastern Europe, knowing full well that they would one day sail to America and take control of the presidency.
But I thought Obama was a Muslim, and weren't all but one of the U.S. presidents Protestant? I mean, up until Obama, all our presidents have been as white as Fluffernutter. Soaked in bleach.
You silly girl. You forgot about the Roosevelts. Or should I say Rosenfelds.
But I thought the Roosevelts were members of the Dutch Reformed Church.
Certainly, but the Dutch Reformed Church are just like Jews, except they eat pork and pray to Jesus, and they have no connection to the ancient kingdom of Judea.
I see. Now that you explain it, it's all so very clear to me. So tell me, what's your plan to promote the festival via the internet?
Well, it's all stored on our webpage, protected from hackers with our ironclad four-letter password, which is all caps.
Well, maybe I could stop by tonight? After all, what woman doesn't love a man in uniform and a brown shirt and only one testicle?
Oh, gee. Golly, I don't know what to say.
Perhaps we could even turn on your computer, because I'd really like to log in with you. Of course, I'd need to know your password.
Well, the password is top secret, of course.
Oh, couldn't you just tell me the first letter?
You mean F?
Chancellor Z, get a hold of yourself. We must remember our mission.
But of course, forgive me for distracting you. And now, I must go buy some stiletto high heels. If you need me, just whistle. You do know how to whistle, don't you?
Actually, I've not been able to whistle ever since I got punched in the mouth by Rosie O'Donnell on The View.
Did you hit her back?
I can't talk about it. The case is still pending.
Fair enough. I'll be off now. You two just stay here. I'll be back before you know it. I promise. No lie. I am telling the truth. Bye now.
Do you really think she's coming back?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Me too.
I think I know the cyber Nazi's password. I'll just fire up my smartphone, surf to their website, and see if I can log in with a password. F-A-R-T. Fantastic! It worked! I need to call Jim.
Jim here.
Great news, Jim. I spoke with the cyber Nazis at their apartment. They have posters of Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson on their walls. It was pretty creepy. But at least I got their password.
Super. Do you think you can hack into their system?
I'm sure of it. I'll send a phony email to their mailing list notifying everyone that the festival will be held at the City Dump in Camden, New Jersey.
Great. Good work. The Paul brothers and I sawed through the wall and took the Klansmen's robes. Rand is tie-dyeing them as we speak.
He is so multi-talented.
And could you stop by the Nature Center and try to retrieve Ed? I get worried whenever he goes out into nature. Last time he visited the park, he came back wearing a garland of poison ivy.
Sure thing. It's just around the corner. I should be back in the studio in no time. Catch you later.
Okay, see you. Bye.
I don't see any sign of Ed outside the Nature Center. I'll ask this liberal hipster manning the native plant sale table. Excuse me, have you seen Ed Feldman?
I don't know who that is. What does he look like?
Imagine if Pablo Neruda and Margaret Mead had a love child. He's likely spouting off some gibberish about ambidextrous people.
Oh, that guy. He's been standing in the butterfly room for a few hours. We all figured he was an inspector from the Department of Licenses and Inspections.
But didn't you think it was strange he was standing around doing nothing?
That's why we assumed he was with the city. You can go talk to him if you like. The butterfly room is just to the left of the gift shop.
I'll do that. Thanks for your help. Hey, Ed, what are you doing in the butterfly room?
I'm occupying it. I tried to take over the entire property, but it was too big. Then I decided to seize control of the gift shop, but everybody kept asking me where the restrooms were, and they didn't even buy anything.
So that's why you came in here?
Well, first I tried barring ambidextrous people from the restroom, clearly designed for people who were either right or left-handed, but the screening process was too hard.
How did you screen them?
Well, a lot of people were prepared to show birth certificates, you know, to verify their biological assigned genders. Turns out that there's nothing on a birth certificate to identify handedness.
Who knew?
So I thought, what if I use DNA to identify people after they came out of the restroom?
How could you do that?
Well, I don't know how much time you've spent in men's rooms, Martha, but it occurred to me that by analyzing the DNA left on the urinal deodorizing cakes, I could determine if Ambies had used the restroom.
Oh my God, Ed. Is that why this butterfly room reeks like Ben Gay?
I put him back there in the corner, but the smell's kind of noticeable.
I take it your DNA analysis didn't work out?
No, it worked. According to my findings, no Ambies have used the men's room today.
Well, does that make you feel better?
But what about the women's room? I had no screening process for the women's room. And female Ambies are particularly dangerous because they can reproduce.
Ed, there's something I need to tell you. I am an ambidextrous American.
You? But you don't look ambidextrous.
And my whole family is ambi. That's why we had to flee the old country in a makeshift canoe. Fortunately, we could paddle on both sides.
But how can that be? Ambies are evil and you're my friend.
That's right, Ed. I'm not evil. Remember how I calmed you down that time we drove through the Holland Tunnel and you became terrified that we were going to end up in Holland?
I sure do. I thought they were going to make me wear wooden shoes.
But that didn't happen, did it? Instead, we ended up in Greenwich Village.
Where a scratchy-voiced folk singer kicked me in the groin after I stepped on his guitar?
And I managed to subdue him and pull you away before you got seriously hurt.
Using both hands! Yeah, you know, Martha, maybe I've been wrong about all this hatred stuff. I know you're not much into either-ors, but maybe hatred is not a good thing, but actually a bad thing.
I think we've made some real progress today. Let's say we go back to the studio and see how Jim's doing.
Okay, just one more thing. If I'm not constantly hating someone, what will I do with all my free time?
Well, maybe you could pursue a hobby? Observing butterflies, maybe. Or something to benefit humankind. Like helping Jim stop the Klan from spreading their brand of hate.
Yeah, I will. So, Martha, when we walk back to the studio, would it be okay if I held your hand?
My left or my right hand?
Either one.
Oh, yeah, I'm learning something. I think I understand that people aren't evil if they can use both hands. Write distinctly while using your right hand, and please write
write just as clearly while using your left hand. I wanna hold your hand, your ambidextrous hand. And when you touch me with your left or your right, I know that choosing one would seem like a slide, like a slide, like a slide. Ambidextrous, and now I think that's grand. Since you're ambidextrous, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand, your ambidextrous hand. I wanna hold your hand.
Well, here we are back at the studio. Wow. We ended up walking all night. Who are those people gathering at the corner? They're holding signs that say, white powder.
I think they mean white power. They just can't spell. It's a common problem among race supremacists.
Hey, look, it's Jim and Professor What's-His-Name from next door.
Martha! Ed! You made it just in time. The Klansmen and the cyber-Nazis are starting their Paler Shade of White festival. We're going to go see what happens.
In order that we will not be noticed, I have brought fake mustaches so that they cannot tell who we are. Here, put them on.
Cool. I forget, do I wear this fake mustache above or below my nose?
Shh, they're getting started.
Good morning, everyone. All please rise and give the White Power salute for the singing of our anthem by Skinhead Records recording artist Commander Wacky. We ignored the Civil Rights Act. Didn't think there was a need. All the while protecting the one true race and creed. But our lives are getting harder as the population shifts. We must heed the call to action. If you catch my drift, and so each enlightened hater has to tell the world what's right, and it's time to bleach the rainbow to a paler shade of white. Say there is no reason to live in harmony, but the dreamers and the prophets, they won't let the notion be. One of 1600 reasons we are heading for the hills, where we can live in compounds and spew poison at our will. And so each enlightened hater has to tell the world what's right. That it's time to bleach the rainbow to a paler shade of white.
fellow brothers and sisters of the Aryan race, which, technically speaking, has no basis in the historical or archaeological record, but it has such a nice ring to it. I must say, I was expecting a bigger crowd than this. I thought the cyber-Nazis sent out hundreds of invitations.
Yes, well, unfortunately our computer got hacked. I suspect it was those crazy lunatics from Anonymous.
Those people have some gall. Forming a vigilante group and then hiding their identity from the rest of the world? What cowards.
Which reminds me, it's time we put on our robes and hoods. Then we can talk about those terrible Muslim women who wear hijabs. Teflon, could you take our white robes out of the duffel bag where we stored them?
Sure thing, miss. Holy horse hockey! All our white robes have been dyed. They look like the cover of a Jimi Hendrix album, or worse, a rainbow flag. But we can't wear them.
But we must. Those robes are our symbolic link to the Confederacy, that grand nation that lasted 4 years, during which their economy failed and their citizens descended into poverty.
I'm sorry, but I can't wear those girly colors. We ranchers have spent the last couple of years trying to live down that whole Brokeback Mountain thing. This would do irreparable damage to our manliness.
How did this happen? I think the cyber-Nazis were to blame. You screwed up the invitations, and you probably leaked our plans to cyber-pinko commies. You failed at everything.
No, we didn't. We remembered to bring the potato salad.
And there's no one here to eat it. You're a bunch of losers.
People, let's not fight among ourselves. All this hatred is disturbing me. Let's all put on our colorful robes and continue with our presentation.
Not me. I'm out of here. I ain't gonna dress like no sissy.
Well, I see nothing wrong with dressing up in a long flowing gown. I mean robe. Now allow me to begin my speech. Today, we are gathered to discuss the inevitable global victory of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, yeah? Well, the way you're dressed, you look more like the Ku Klux Clowns.
Who said that? Who said that? Stop interrupting me. As I was saying, in the late 18th century, defeated Confederate soldiers created the Ku Klux Klan. But today, I am announcing that we have a new, more contemporary name.
Yeah, the Clueless Klan.
No, that's not it. Stop laughing at me.
This is a public relations nightmare. I quit. I'm going to work for a truly racist organization, like the government of Russia or the Chicago Police Department. Goodbye, Clive, and you can keep your stupid Bavarian potato salad.
That's it. I've had enough of this abuse. Mock me if you will, but when you disparage my potato salad, you insult my honor.
But you can't leave now. I was just about to list my grievances against Zionist Negro homosexuals.
Too bad. If you want me, I'll be in my apartment watching that Fox News show with all the angry women in tight skirts.
Hey, everybody. Let's leave this lame event and go to the Avenue G Diversity Day celebration and eat sugar till we pass out.
Yay! Let's go!
But if you leave, what will I do with all this potato salad? It cost us $75.
I may have a solution. I shall buy it from you for a sum of $1. You may take it or leave it.
Oh, all right, Professor. I think I'll move back to Europe and spew hateful messages about Syrian refugees. Or maybe I could throw rocks at Muslim orphans.
Jim, you have succeeded in driving away the Klansmen. I say we celebrate by eating some of my newly purchased potato salad.
Yeah.
Here, I'll open it up. Let's try some.
Hey, this potato salad is really good.
You're right. You know, those neo-Nazis may have a morally bankrupt ideology, but they can sure cook up a great bowl of potato salad.
The other good news is that Ed decided to stop his campaign against ambidextrous people.
That's right, Martha. Instead of spending all my time hating people, I've decided to pursue my true purpose in life. From now on, I'll dedicate myself to singing wailing songs. Here, let me sing one.
Oh, no, not wailing songs. They combine the stultifying boredom of folk music with the extinction of marine mammals.
Here's a little nautical ditty I think you might like.
Mother
McCrae was sprightly and gay. Her husband said it was ridiculous. And 30 years on, he got hooked by a prawn. And they all
died of syphilis.
Wait, hold on. That doesn't make any sense. Are you saying the prawn died of syphilis?
Scupperboard Sam got stuck in a jam. They said that it was vociferous. He took a swim with Barnacle Jim, and they all died of syphilis.
Hold on.
They all died of syphilis.
Is that directed at me? I haven't got any barnacles. I had them removed years ago.
Jim, just let it slide. Ed found a constructive use for his, I guess we could call them, talents. Try to be more supportive.
Barnegat Betty got lost on a jetty. The object was almost odoriferous. And when she came back, she tripped on a crack. And they all died of syphilis. They all died of syphilis. Heaven forfend, it came to an end. They all died of syphilis.
Well, that was great. Let's hope we never hear it again.
Excuse me, fellows, but I also know an amusing vernacular tune that you all may enjoy.
Mother of God, this is turning into a hootenanny. Oh, the horror.
Why, I'd love to hear your song, Professor Booker. Please sing it for us.
I learned this melody when I was a young child back home in Bonstadtstadt. You can sing it whenever you encounter white supremacists. Hitler, he only had one ball. Goring had two, but they were small. Himmler was mighty similar, and good old Goebbels had no balls at all. Where did he keep his other ball? It was hung on the kitchen wall. Brother, they said his mother, she cut it off when he was only small. Everyone sing!
Hitler, he only had one ball. Goring had two, but they were small. Himmler was mighty similar, and good old Goebbels had no balls at all.
One more time!
Hitler, woo, he only had one ball.
Just one!
Goring had two, but they were small,
very small.
Hitler was mighty similar, and good old Goebbels had no balls at all.
Yay!
Well, that's it for this edition of Avenue G. Tonight's show was written by Matt Jekyll, Martha Michael, and Jim Harris. For those of you in the Philadelphia area, come out and see our live audience show every first Friday at 7 p.m. at Alma Mater Restaurant, 7165 Germantown Avenue. Our next show there is Friday, June 4th at 7 p.m. You can check out all of our podcasts anytime online at avenue-g.net. And don't forget to listen to me, Ed Feldman, on Morning Feed every weekday morning at 9 o'clock on gtownradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good night.